You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So it's all for play for still.
I think so. Do you want to bet against us?
Hello, Aston Villa fans. We're alive. We're live.
Only just.
I hope you're all doing well. We just said we wanted to pop on and have a quick chat about Sheffield United and Aston Villa game at the weekend. And also, you know, just to, I suppose really there's a lot of thank yous to say to an awful lot of people who said an awful lot of kind words. And I think, Paddy, that's probably where we'll stay first. Start with firstly is obviously we interviewed Paul McGrath. We did the team sheet tantrum from there. From the venue, and it was just an absolutely magical day. Just like Carlsberg don't do days, but if they did, there would have been a day like that. And the venue was perfect. The man himself was perfect. The win, the 5-0 win, was perfect. And the crack was absolutely 90, as we say over here in Ireland. Like from the minute one, there was a huge wait to get into the venue because we had to scan everyone in, and then it. Myself and Paddy thought, oh yeah, maybe about 40 minutes. Sure, not everyone's going to want to get their photograph taken with McGrath. 2.5 hours later, we were still waiting for people to get their photographs and their signatures, which was absolutely fantastic. And, you know, fair play to Paul for and his whole team that he had with him. You know, they were very, very affable. It was, you know, he had time for everybody and it was just amazing. It was just fantastic. And then obviously to get to talk to him was just excellent. He is what you see in the tin. Meek, humble, too humble. I called him up on it at one stage in this on the stage. For those of you who are there, you'll remember I called him up on himself being humble at one stage, and I drew him out of his shell to tell us how good he thought he was, and he did. But no, just for me a fantastic day. And I want to say thank you to everybody that came. I want to say thank you to the venue and Cask. I want to say thank you to Paul and Paddy. I want to say thank you to you for who without your extensive phone book this would never been possible, and I never even thanked you on the night, but thanks a million.
You don't need to thank me, it's my pleasure. I enjoyed it. It was 4 years in the making since your other half asked me to get Paul McGrath on the podcast like it was going to be just very easy. But we got here in the end, and it was just one of those amazing days where I remember we sat in the pub afterwards at about 11:30. And just sat there and went, did that really happen? And you're looking at people sitting around that big table from all over Ireland, all over the UK. And it was just an amazing coming together of people. It was unbelievable. I can't even say how I feel about the whole thing. I still think I'm just still on a bit of a high, but no doubt there's going to be a drop off in that over the next few days. But yeah, good job. I have a busy few days in work, so I won't have to worry about it for the next few. But there we go.
Your busy days in work waited until after the event. I got a phone call at 8:00 in the morning of the event. There was stuff going down, and did a bit yesterday, and I'm at it today. But do you know what? It was great. It actually focused the mind an awful lot because there was a lot to set up for the gig when we went in there on Saturday. And, you know, couldn't have asked for any more help from anybody. They were absolutely fantastic. Everybody was. To your family who had sold, you know, who helped get people in and were there on the merchandise table and everything. And of course, my mother who stormed the stage in the middle of the podcast to open up Pomegranate Water. You know, if anybody wants to see,
don't be giving all. Looks like, people haven't seen it yet.
wait for it. Yeah, just in case anybody doesn't know who this crazy lady is that's running up onto the stage and grabbing Pomegranate bottle of water in the middle of it. But look for my face, the absolute disdain. The stainful look. My big moment, ma'am. Like, never put your family, never ever. If the word to everybody, don't put your family in the front row. They're too close to you.
No, but seriously, thank you to all. Special thank you to Philip Drew from the Leinster Lions, yes, who looked after Paul's needs for the whole time, and to over 200 people had to file past and take photographs and sign autographs. And he was as equally patient as Paul was. It was a tough task, but he got it done. And to all the lads, our friend Vinny from Cork, all the Limerick Lions, all came in early and said, look, we're here. We might be drinking pints, but just shout when you need anything and we'll help away. And it was just brilliant. It was just brilliant to have them there and to have their support. So thanks to everybody for all your help. And thank you. You tend to forget that unless people bought all these tickets, this wouldn't have happened. So thank you to everybody who came and made it such a roaring success, and for your patience having to wait that amount of time to see Paul, you know. And I hope it was worth it, because he signed absolutely everything. He took as many pictures as you like. It got a bit hairy at the end. We were trying to get people through as quick as possible in the hope that we'd even get a few minutes on stage. But thankfully, he was great with his time, and we got some lovely stories out of him and a nice chat. And it was just one of those moments where we'll tell our grandkids, if we live to see them, all about the day that we spent in Limerick with Paul McGrath. And it was great to bring it to Limerick. It really was. It's your hometown, and it's where I call home now. And it was great to bring and give something back to Limerick and the hotels and the restaurants and the pubs. And I hope the cast had a really good day and did very well at the bar. I'm sure they did, judging by the level of drunkenness by about 9 o'clock on Saturday night. And also
shares in the Kilmurry Lodge went through the roof.
A big, huge thank you to Unai Emery and the boys, because that really topped off the day. Some idiot on the team sheet tantrum said that we were going to win 5-0. And we won 5-0.
Although it was
the same idiot didn't put money on it, by the way.
There was Philip's son Nathan said that we were going to win 20-0, and to be honest with you, after 20 minutes it looked like he could be right as well. Because Villa were unstoppable for large portions of that first half, and they had the game completely sewn up after 20 minutes. Villa were awesome at times in that game. Clinical, our front four just started to hum, and of course I got my flight over, popped up from left back and got my goal as well on the day that was in it. That was actually funny, because I was on the phone. I was FaceTiming my two kids before they went to bed out in there's a courtyard area, and there was two TVs, and I was FaceTiming them. And of course, you'd be talking to everybody that was around. And as I was FaceTiming, I was looking at the TV, and Moreno puts it in the back of the net, and a group of about 10 fellas turn around and goes, "You scored, Neil, you scored." Like, obviously podcast watchers, you know, so that obviously that in-joke that does go around. It was funny though, but no, what a fantastic day. And from minute one, Villa were just on it against Sheffield United. Tactics were perfect. The mindset was perfect from Aston Villa away from home. And yes, look, the first goal, it needed the first goal for the other four to go in. But, Villa looked like a top four team in Sheffield United. Like, I don't know what Wes Fotheringham was doing for a couple of, I don't know what he was doing for about 60 minutes of that match, to be honest with you. But
we've got into a situation now where we're in the top four. And we're now at the business end where the likes of Sheffield United, the likes of Luton and them, they can't park the bus. They need points on the board. So I would hope that the talent we have will be good enough not to concede first and then go and break down these teams on the break, as we did absolutely majestically at times at the weekend. But it didn't feel like we got out of third gear at all, and still we were just brilliant, you know. And it was, look, the game is still a bit of a blur, so I'm not going to go into too much detail about it. I watched the goals back and I watched Match of the Day on Sunday, but haven't had a chance to watch the match back yet. And it was just to have 200 plus people in Limerick scream the place down when we scored. I was standing beside the sound engineer when we scored, and she went, "I have never seen anything like that in my life."
It was the second biggest roar of the night after we scored the first goal, because the first biggest roar was when we were getting the game on and the projector was flicking it on and flicking it off, and it was like, "Hey, ooh, hey!" It was like a day at the darts. It was absolutely fantastic. But Paddy, you mentioned there, you know, that we didn't get out of third gear, and obviously our first half being 4-0 up after a half an hour allowed us to look. Douglas Luiz went off because he was feeling ill. There's no lasting effects from him there with anything there, I don't think. Moussa Diaby comes on for Leon Bailey. Leon Bailey put in another sterling performance in the 60 minutes he was on the team. We got John McGinn off for a bit of a rest, and young Tim came in. And then, of course, Morgan Rogers comes on for Youri Tielemans. But the one that I purposely left out there was that Ezri Konsa left the field with Matty Cash coming in. And it looks like, I suppose, the only downer from that 5-0 seems to be that Ezri Konsa is going to be out for a couple of weeks and potentially more. If just judging by what Matt Law said, I don't know if you've seen that, because it just popped up like minutes before we went online. So it's not an ideal bit of news, I think, for Aston Villa. But
the important thing is that the important thing is it is only a couple of weeks, and also we have adequate cover. So we could be in a worse position to lose players. Obviously we're without Tyrone Mings, but there is plenty of cover there. So let's not worry too much about that, and we'll see the extent of it over the next I suppose we'll hear from Unai Emery tomorrow ahead of the Chelsea game, so we'll hear what he has to say, and we'll worry about it then. Some people are suggesting it's a dead leg. If it is a dead leg, that's fine. That's a week's time, he'll be fine, and that report did say that he will miss the next two games, which is only a week. You know, we play tomorrow and we play on Sunday. I would have really liked to have him for these two games. They're important games. But look, we have the cover. We wish him well. He's obviously one of our favourites here on the podcast. And that's the only bad news to come out of Saturday, thankfully.
Yeah, and I suppose from a planning point of view, you know, obviously you don't expect something like that to happen to any of your players, but when something like that happens so soon after the transfer window, and you're like, okay, Josh Feeney's gone to Real Union, then Donker's gone out of the club, two potential people who could come onto the bench and be that extra player, and then you think of, oh wait, Callum Chambers hasn't gone anywhere yet, you know, so keep holding on to him could end up being a nice little parachute for us, you know, that we might need to call upon, because outside of the two of those guys, you know, centre half, who's the next person you're going to put in centre half? I remember, like, probably Buba will probably be the next person that will be in there. He'd be the seventh centre half we might play this season if it came to it. But look, we won't worry about that. That's catastrophic.
But look, we obviously have able replacements there in Diego Carlos and Clement Longley. So that will be the centre-half partnership on Wednesday. Powell's back soon. We've also Callum Chambers still there. Albeit he's not the best of what we have there. So it is frustrating that he will be injured. But let's not get too hung up on it, because there's a team there capable of winning the next two games, and that's what we've got to focus on now.
Here we go. Miles Morris said it. It's Courtney time. It's Courtney time. That's brilliant. Yeah, don't put it past it. I know. And Lamar Bogard, Rob Warner's actually, yeah, Rob, for anyone who's at the podcast and got to witness Rob's jacket, absolutely class. The best dressed man at the podcast was Rob Warner. It was great to meet him over the weekend. I introduced him to a place in Limerick called the Chicken Hut. And if you know, you know. That's all I'll say. If you know, you know. But yeah, like we've got Ken Kessler Hayden back to going, you know, to covering at right back. So it's really only essentially that you're really, really kind of worrying about there from that point of view. But look, I know it's a month, but you know, it's not nice. Like I'm trying to put the fucking sunny side out with regards to the news, but we're supposed to wait for more regards to it and see what happens. But I'll tell you, the Shep McGrath was in at the weekend. I think we could get a month out of him, Paddy. I think we get a month out of Paul McGrath if we were to put him straight in there now, register him and get him in there, because he was in rare shape. He put me to shame anyway. Up there, my Winnie the Pooh body walking around alongside him, and he in rare shape for a man of 64 years of age. So interesting. But Paddy, we do have a big weekend coming up. You know, a big week, sorry, should I say, coming up. We've got Chelsea on Wednesday. Which we'll talk more about in a different podcast, I think. But we've Chelsea on Wednesday, and then we have we've United at the weekend. You know, some people say that they're two defining games for the rest of the year. They're two games that make us more comfortable for the rest of the year, I certainly feel. Mm-hmm. Even United at arm's length with a draw, I think, at the weekend, for me, would be sufficient. It's in Villa Park, isn't it, the United game?
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah. We were away on St. Stephen's Day, Boxing Day. Yeah.
They're flying, like, you know. United are absolute. They're pretty home. Well, now I know the game against the game where Manu had to score in the 97th minute, but you know they're scoring goals again and they're dangerous. And we'll get onto that, I suppose, later on in the week. But I don't think that it's a defining week for the club. But I think it's a club that can make it a hell of a lot easier, or a week that can make it a hell of a lot easier for the club, being in the hat for the FA Cup, you know, being 11 points ahead of Manchester United in sixth place. That's a nice little buffer zone to get, but we won't get ahead of ourselves with regards to that just yet. I think we still have time to bask in the glory of the game at the weekend, because Paddy, and I know you haven't watched the game back, but you've watched the highlights. Every time I see that goal from Youri Tielemans, the ball hits the bar and hits the ground another time. You know, it was just a rocket. And I was sitting beside my parents in the front row watching it on the big screen when that went in. And I was like, whoo. Like, my dad doesn't swear an awful lot. And I think he went, Jesus Christ, what was that? Like, so, it was great. And you know what? Like, he's somebody he probably needs that goal. I think he probably needs that goal, Paddy, to know that he's going to be playing that position further forward. But of all the goals, that's the one that really, really stands out to me from the weekend. Bailey's goal. I thought, I listened to Dan Bardell. We've seen Bailey score that goal what feels like 100 times already, you know. That's his goal. Cuts in, left foot in the back of the net. But
I think all the goals had something a little bit special in them as well. That Douglas Luiz pass, my God, if that's hit by Messi, it gets shown again and again and again. What an incredible ball. What an absolute inch-perfect ball. Brilliant force touch from Ollie Watkins. Great finish. That's exactly the Ollie Watkins we want to see. We were buzzing after that went in. And the team were pouring once that goal went in. It's just great for him. He's been on a barren spell, and to get that goal coming into this week when we need goals, and look, Leon Bailey, he's nearly into double figures. I think that's 9 now, is it?
Yeah,
8 or 9
remember. Maybe.
Yeah, I can't remember.
Yeah,
so it'll be worth looking at that. But look, it's 5 different goal scorers. Goals are coming from every angle. McGinn, relentless, following in on that one. Ollie Watkins, obviously, great finish. Bailey, great finish. I love those balls that go in off the underside of the crossbar. There's something magical about them. Anything that hits the woodwork and goes in, I love it. It's aesthetically pleasing when it happens, because you just know that you're an inch away from it coming back out into play. You know, it's that tight, and it's just when you see it go down, hit the bar, back up, hitting the roof of the net. Brilliant stuff. Loved it.
And is it me, but kind of goals don't go in off the post or the crossbar that much anymore. Like they,
it does seem that way.
Game back in the 90s, like, I don't know what it is. I think it's because players were more prepared to shoot from ridiculous places, you know? There were ridiculous shots, like, back then. I don't know what it is. And goalkeepers may not have been as good. Well, the goalkeeper has nothing to do with whether it comes off the post or not, but people are probably a bit more outrageous with regards to that stuff. I don't know. I don't know. It's interesting. Paddy, yeah, I was going to ask you who would your man in a match be, but I think it probably picks itself. Does it not?
Well, there's a lot of people you could pick. Like, you look at when it was needed, that double save from Emi Martinez was magical as well. When you look at what Alisson did this weekend, it's very hard for someone to tell me that Alisson is a better goalkeeper than Emi Martinez. Absolutely nuts. Shit himself on the biggest stage. All across the board. Kieran, I thought the players were excellent.
Kieran O'Callaghan says, goals don't go in off the post anymore since Nyland. Reference to the VAR one, I'd imagine. Reference to the and as Rob Warner says, goals going in off the post, it's the sound. The sound of them hitting off the post, you know.
Everyone knows my favourite goal is that Steve Staunton goal at Old Trafford, and it's just that clunk boom, as it hits the post on the way in. John McGinn's goal against Sheffield Wednesday that hits the underside of the bar. Just something about it. It's just so good.
Yeah, I think going back to the man of match, sorry, I broke your train of thought there. Like, the man of match is Ollie Watkins all day long. Like, he was like a goal and two assists and the work rate he did up there. Like, he handled those three centre halves that they played at his ease. Like, you know, they couldn't get him in the NASA's roar of him. And when they did, he turned them every time. I thought he was absolutely superb. But like, as everyone says, and as we've been saying, I've been saying it for 3 years, even though I've been the conductor of the Ollie Watkins fan bus, he's streaky. Like, he's all, and that's, and you know what? I don't think it's frustrating at times, but you know, that statistic that's out there at the moment, he's the only player in the top 10 leagues to have 10 and 10, 10 plus goals, 10 plus assists. Like, you know, he's keeping around anyway, I suppose. If anybody's listening to this, I mean, I'm being very facetious when I say that, as in the fact that, of course, he's worth keeping around because he's a lot more functional, I think, than like, take him out of the team and see where we go. He's one of those players, is what I would say. But fair play to him. He's absolutely rocking it. And I hope he gets more goals this week as well, because we're going to need to score goals to beat Chelsea, and we're going to need to score goals to beat Man United. And maybe we might be the team that not only, if we go and beat Chelsea, maybe they get rid of Pochettino. And maybe them getting Pochettino makes them fall foul of the PSR rules, as has been rumoured today, that they can't get rid of him because they gave him a contract for the rest of his life and it would cost too much to get rid of him. So, who knows? Who knows? But we'll see. We'll see what happens there. I don't think we're going to ramble too much more about the game, as I say, but we will take it in. I'm going to watch it again. I'm going to at least watch the highlights again there right before I hit the hay, because it's not often Villa score five when we've scored six already this season in another game. But you know, it was the manner of the way that Villa just dismantled Sheffield United and then played with them like a cat with a ball of string. And even at the very death, when Vinny Sousa, one of my most despised players in the Premier League is Vinny Sousa from Sheffield United. And it's kind of irrational. He just kicks people up in the air is all he does. And then when that goal was ruled off at the end, I did have a little, I had one of those sadistic chuckles at the whole thing, because not only did the commentators say, oh, Villa will be annoyed, no, they didn't keep a clean sheet, and that's worrying, you know, Villa not able to keep a clean sheet this season, and then it was chalked off, and I was like, you know, that couldn't have gotten any better. But as I say, 5-0 versus Sheffield United versus anyone, especially away from home, is special, and this team is special, and they're proving it this season, and long may they continue to do it. Paddy, in the preamble to this podcast or in the Twitter, we said that we have another announcement. Do you want to do the honours in this one, Paddy?
You want me to do the honours? Well,
yeah.
We have alluded to it a number of times, but we do have a live podcast coming up in Birmingham. We're giving people a heads up of the date and the date only, because we literally have no guest for this one. That's not to say we won't have a guest, but we've no guest as it currently stands. So we will put the tickets on sale in due course. But just to let people know that if they wish to travel, The live podcast will be on the 19th of April, which is the weekend of the Bournemouth game. The Bournemouth game, if we're still in Europe, will more than likely be 2 o'clock on the Sunday. We're going to have the podcast on the Friday night from about 7 o'clock onwards.
I better run that one by the missus, because I've been saying to her that if the game is on the Sunday, the podcast will be on the Friday night. If the game is on the Saturday, or it'll be on the Saturday night. If the game is on the Saturday, the podcast will be on the Friday night. But never fear, we'll be there. And if I can't make it for whatever reason, there'll be a cardboard cut out of me there anyway.
Say nothing. The podcast is on the Friday night. It's on the Friday night. It has to be on the Friday night.
Yeah.
I think that's not going to change. Yeah.
And did we say where it's on, Paddy?
No, I didn't. So the venue for the live podcast is the Aston Inn. And why would we have it anywhere else but in Aston?
Yeah.
For the first one anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I hope everyone can make it. It's it could have the makings of a great long weekend for people, especially if we've got a home game on the Thursday night in Europe. And then the podcast on the Friday. If that's the case, we might do something on the Saturday, a bit of a get together, and then the match on the Sunday. But we'll see what happens over the next few weeks.
Here, no, I definitely don't even want to do that in the meantime.
You don't
definitely not. But yeah, I'm looking forward to that as well. That's something, you know, a lot of people have been asking us. And you know what? There was like 45 people from Birmingham at the gig on Saturday as well. And, you know, it's a lot of people have asked us, you know, if we would ever do something, you know, in Birmingham, and we will. And it'll be on the 19th of April. So really, really looking forward to it. And looking forward to get to put faces to names, because that was one of the beautiful things about this weekend. Lots of faces to a lot of Twitter handles and stuff like that, you know. I met some really great people, took their numbers, you know. There's a lot of people there out there that have, you know, been looking for a meetup like we had at the weekend in Ireland, and the one we had in September as well, because as I've always said before, you know, the only Villa fan in the village kind of a situation. There's a lot of people out there like that, and you know, there's a nice little community within Villa fans, not even to do with this podcast, but there's a lot of Villa fans out there that want to bask in the glory of the team the way they are now at the moment. So that's really what it's all about, and hopefully we can get to meet more people when we go over to Birmingham as well.
Absolutely. And look, it's difficult for people to get over to Ireland, and coming to Ireland is you'd nearly be cheaper to go to Birmingham for the weekend than book a hotel in Ireland at the moment. It's just
cheaper to go to
crazy. It's eye-watering what people are bloody paying for hotels in this country. So it'll be great to go to meet all these people that are telling us to come and do it in Birmingham. So we've gone with the Aston Inn, and they've been great. They have everything booked for us. Everything is done. Our good friend Mark Wood, that's in the comments there, is organising our sound and all that kind of stuff. So we haven't spoke about it in a while, Mark, but I hope you're still doing it.
Surprise, Mark. Surprise.
Yeah. So we have this booked about 3 months, but obviously we knew that the Paul McGrath one was in the process of being finalized and trying to sort that, so we didn't want to confuse everybody. So now that it's done, it's out there, it's booked, we're ready to go, and over the next couple of weeks I will try and firm up some guests. There's a couple of people said they'd come down that didn't particularly want to get up on the stage, but they'll come down and have a few drinks with the people that are there, a few ex-players. But look, If it's just the case that it's just me and you on the stage, that'll be it. But what we'll try and do over the next few weeks is set something up that'll make it a bit more attractive than just looking at our two mugs.
Yeah, exactly. For sure. For sure, for sure, for sure. And and you know what? It's going to be the weekend of my birthday as well. So feel free to lavish me with air bombs if you want. I won't say no. I won't say no to that. Yeah, I was just about to say it's going to be my 40, but it's not, because I'm not 40 until the year after.
I think Mark says I think that means we're okay. Would you?
yeah. Did you mention it was before the Bournemouth game as well, Paddy? Yeah,
the Bournemouth game.
Excellent. Excellent. In case anyone hasn't noticed, I think both myself and Paddy are going to fall asleep. We're still wrecked after the podcast. And usually, you know, as I say, it was such an amazing experience. And I can't thank everybody who came enough, but I will again just say thank you to everybody who came, and thank you to Mr. McGrath. He is watching this. Another thing that we have to say is that we'll try that out later in the week as well. Keep you guys guessing with regards to it. We'll try that out later on in the week, but it's only something small. And keep an eye out on socials for another small bit of announcement as well later on in the week. But I'm going to leave you on that. I'm not going to give you any hints. Just going to leave you guys on that one. Yeah, I got to hit the hay. But thanks so much, everybody, for watching and for listening. And we will be back probably tomorrow again. Well, I'll be back tomorrow again with a little Chelsea preview. And then we'll have a Chelsea team sheet tantrum and post-match as well for the Chelsea game. And then straight into United coverage then after that as well. So hope you guys join us for that. And in the meantime, stay safe, stay healthy, and all that's left to say is up the Villa.
Up the Villa.
Podcast Network.